Welcome to the Curious Podcast, where we are constantly in the process of getting to the bottom of shit. Quote, have you ever had the feeling that you have done this exact same thing before? A new theory claims humans probably have repeated the same behavior an infinite amount of times, thanks to time and the universe repeating itself over and over for eternity. End quote. Hello everyone. I hope you are ready for another episode that scrambles your brain and makes you question everything. I pass my schizo tendencies on to you all through the information I share. You're very welcome. This week, we will be talking about time loops or the time loop theory. This is a common theory that's been displayed in the sci-fi genre a lot. Time loop theory has also been the center of mainstream entertainment in movies such as Groundhog Day, which everyone has heard of. If you're not familiar with Groundhog Day, it's about a weatherman named Phil who is sent to a city in Pennsylvania to cover the annual Groundhog Day festivities, which was the name of the city's holidays, I think. Phil then gets caught in a blizzard that he didn't predict. So much for being a weatherman. Following the blizzard, Phil then finds himself trapped in a time warp where he must relive the same day over and over and over again until he gets it right. The movie did pretty well due to the concept. Having to relive the same day again and again as a plot has been done several times in shows and movies since. The concept of time is something that has been played around with thoroughly in fiction. There is also a chance that time loops occur on Earth. Remember on my previous episode when I said that I believe we are in a time loop? The only difference being that certain themes or events repeat, but there are differences such as the people, as well as other details relating to the period of time it is in. So in that episode, I gave the example of the gas embargo in the 70s being very similar to the current gas crisis, as well as several other parallels, which when you put them side to side, make you scratch your head a little bit. There is scientific research suggesting the existence of a much bigger loop theory that involves not just Earth, but the entire universe. Quote, Professor Steinhardt argues that what happens in the future could also have happened in our past. The Big Bang may not have been the beginning of space and time, but a bridge to a pre-existing era of contraction. Instead, the evolution of the universe could be cyclical, with regularly repeating periods of expansion and contraction. If this theory is correct, it could help to explain one of the puzzles of cosmology, how the galaxies, stars, and planets came into being. End quote. I just want to preface this by saying that I don't believe in the Big Bang. I think it's a major cope for our lack of knowledge by just saying things just exploded and appeared. That's fucking dumb. But anyway, some physicists and scientists agree that the universe is curved, though it is still contested as it isn't the mainstream narrative. If the universe curved, it would mean that everything would go around in an endless loop. This goes against the mainstream theory of a flat universe, which suggests that if two things went in the opposite direction, they would never meet again, as they would go further and further in each direction. If the universe is indeed curved, it leads to the theory that everything repeats itself, as time and space itself would only be traveling in a cyclical pattern, meaning what goes around comes back around. Looking at this play out on Earth, it could translate into history repeating itself and the future repeating itself, which could go on for eternity. This looping happens once a timeline or timelines has come to its completion or gone all the way around until it's back at the start. Scientists propose that when this point of completion is reached, there is some sort of restart that takes place and then it starts all over again. Time loop theorists are not the only ones that have suggested that Earth or the universe resets after a certain period of time. Graham Hancock is a British journalist who spent over 25 years researching lost civilizations. Through his years of research, the things he has discovered not only contradict mainstream archaeology, but give a completely new insight into how long humans have actually walked the Earth. Graham also suggests that a cataclysm hit the Earth, causing previous civilizations to be wiped out. The only evidence of them being strange monuments and structures that we see around the world today. Archaeology has no explanation for some of these mysterious buildings either. You guys should watch Graham's documentary, Ancient Apocalypse. It's on Netflix and his breakdown is clear and concise. Another interesting part about Graham's theories is that modern humans are walking around with amnesia as we have no idea of our real history or timeline. Graham also compares many texts, stories, and holy books from around the world that all mention a flood that wiped out most of the people in the world, then what was left of humanity began to build itself back up again with the help of a more advanced people. The flood or global cataclysm Graham discusses sounds similar to a reboot like the one suggested in the loop theory, which I found interesting when you observe both theories together. Here's Graham talking about this theory on Joe Rogan.
But what they never considered possible was that a society that was hunter-gatherers would have created a gigantic megalithic site. And then suddenly, Göbekli Tepe is discovered. It dates to 11,600 years ago. It's more than 5,000 years older than the supposedly oldest megalithic architecture in the world. And it is in a center where there had been no previous evidence of agriculture. But the moment Göbekli Tepe appears, agriculture appears as well. And this is just something that's really hard for archaeology to explain. They've suddenly got 5,000 years of missing history that they've just never taken into account. And what I see them doing is largely avoiding the problem rather than getting to grips with it directly. And in fact, there have been a great number of changes in the last 20 years, which have worked generally in favor of the arguments that I've proposed.
Well, I'm so happy for you because I know that for a long time you were out there on your own with a lot of these theories.
Very, very much so, and also subjected to the most blistering and deeply unpleasant criticism from the archaeological fraternity and from their friends in the media. Like, how dare this journalist propose that history might be different or that we might have a forgotten chapter in the human story? It was regarded almost as offensive that I would put this material out there. And archaeologists felt it was their responsibility to show the public that I was full of shit. And that was the whole way my work was greeted. And to a certain extent, still is greeted by archaeologists. But things have changed. Central to my work was the notion of a global cataclysm, roughly 12,500, 12,800 years ago. It made sense to me in 1995 when I wrote Fingerprints of the Gods, but there was no compelling evidence for a global cataclysm then. All the evidence seemed to point to that time and a massive global event. And then from 2007 onwards, you know, more than a decade after I wrote Fingerprints of the Gods, we get a group of more than 60 major scientists who are seriously proposing that the Earth was hit by multiple fragments of a giant comet 12,800 years ago, and that this caused a huge rise in sea level and extinctions of megafaunas. They are not saying that it also wiped out a lost advanced civilization of prehistory. I'm saying that.
Yes.
But what has changed is that we now have compelling, hard scientific evidence. I'm not saying every scientist accepts it. It's the nature of science to dispute findings. But we have a group of 60 major figures who have seriously proposed this in all the leading mainstream journals. And it's changed the balance of power in this argument. Because one thing that they used to say is, Hancock can't be right because there was no global cataclysm, you know, 12 or 13,000 years ago. Well, now we know there was, and there are various explanations for it.
I do find it quite telling that Graham Hancock has actually received a lot of backlash and public ridicule, mainly coming from archaeologists because it would threaten their entire belief system, and it would require them to actually go and do some work if the timelines were all wrong. And sadly, I think everyone is just settled on keeping the mainstream timelines as they are because they don't want to have to rewrite history. If you are interested in listening to that full podcast episode, I have left the link in the description below. Enjoy. The European Space Agency's Planck satellite traveled the skies for 4 years in the effort for scientists to study radiation from the beginning of the universe. Through this method, scientists hope to be able to see back in time. They call it the cosmic microwave background, and it is believed to have been in the skies for 13 billion years, holding secrets of the past from hundreds of thousands of years ago. Researchers hope to find more information about our past through studying the cosmic microwave background. Picture it like ripples in the water when you throw something in it. Those ripples are the cosmic microwave background, whilst the water is the landscape of the universe. Quote, however, as everything comes from the exact same point, some suggest this causes the exact same history and future to repeat itself over and over again for eternity. Essentially, this confirms time is an illusion too. Dr. Paul Frampton, professor of physics at University of North Carolina, said, "This cycle happens an infinite number of times, thus eliminating any start or end of time." End quote. This time loop theory is also discussed in many spiritual and philosophical communities. I do actually, on another point, just going back to that quote, find it interesting that a doctor or a professor that was studying physics is even suggesting that time is an illusion, because we didn't actually have any clocks for a while. We didn't have calendars. There was no days of the week. So how are people tracing time back before? I think the only thing was maybe sunlight or daylight. But if you even go back to very ancient texts and some stories that you can find online if you dig it up, there were stories of days that ran on for days and days, as in endless daytime. So it is making me really think, concepts of time, does that actually materialize in the real life and make time more tangible to us? Because we feel time. Sometimes I say this a lot, when you need to get ready for work, you feel like time is speeding up. But then suddenly when you're at work and you're waiting to go home, it feels like the time is going super fast. And I know people say, oh yeah, it's because you keep focusing on the time. Yes and no, because even without looking at the time, you can feel that sense of urgency sometimes. And it's because of time, if that makes sense. So it does make me think, if time didn't exist to us as a concept, would the world look a lot more different than it is? But that's just me thinking a bit too hard. So as I was saying, the time loop theory is discussed in many spiritual and philosophical communities, as there are many people who prescribe to the theory of reincarnation, the world restarting itself as you reincarnate into that new world doesn't sound that far-fetched. If we want to go further, we could attribute déjà vu as being a side effect of having infinite lives on Earth. You may have been a different person in each timeline, but let's say your soul was the only constant that didn't change. Just like muscle memory in the body, some memories may carry over into the next life because there is nothing new under the sun. However, with this interpretation, what contradicts from the scientific viewpoint is that you can escape the loop. Spirituality and faiths such as Hinduism, Buddhism, and more state that the constant cycle of human reincarnation can be avoided and is something that actually shouldn't happen. I guess not shouldn't happen, but it shouldn't be going on as long as maybe it does, if that makes sense. As in, you know, say you've come here 20 times in 20 different bodies, you're the same soul. You clearly haven't learned your lesson. These beliefs are trying to say You could have cut that down to 5 visits to Earth and then you would have been out of here. But you chose to be dumb. If I'm actually explaining it. That's me summarizing it to you guys. Ways to avoid the loop can be through deep meditation, living a clean, natural life, and realizing your purpose in the world. Once you reach that point, you can eventually ascend when you die and not be funneled through the reincarnation loop again. All these faiths agree that endless reincarnation is almost a punishment for not learning your lesson in previous lives. It's fascinating because most of us would not remember our past lives, but some people remember being in certain places before or knowing things that they shouldn't. Here's a creepy case I came across where a child remembered his past life, sharing shocking details even his parents couldn't ignore. Here is James's story.
From the age of 3, James's parents began to hear stories from their son that shocked them. That their son was recalling things that connected him to a Navy pilot who died in 1945. They were skeptical. Bruce is an HR manager in the oil industry. Andrea is a former ballerina turned instructor. As Christians, they never believed in reincarnation, but they began to piece together an amazing story. The first clue came from the terrifying non-stop nightmares that James began having at the age of 2.
He was saying, airplane crash on fire, little man can't get out. Airplane crash on fire, little man can't get out. That's when I was like, oh my God, is that what he's been dreaming this entire time?
What he was saying wasn't registering as much on me as what he was doing. He was flailing around in bed. And I remember the very specific thought I had at that point. This looks like The Exorcist. He was freaking out. I had this thought, he possessed. What is going on here?
Within a year, the visions that greeted James in his nightmares began taking shape when he was wide awake.
I was reading to James, and then he sat up and he goes, Mama, the little man's going like this. And he laid down. And he goes, and he did the same thing he did in his dream. He's kicking his feet up, and he goes, little man's going like this. Ooh, 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 can't get out, can't get out. And I sat him back up, and I said, who's the little man? And he goes, me. It still makes my hair stand up. And Bruce said, what happened to your plane? And he said, it crashed on fire. And he said, why did your airplane crash? And he said, it got shot. And Bruce said, who shot your plane? And he went, oh. The Japanese!
James then gave his parents the next uncanny clue, one that was very specific. The name of a ship from which he says his aircraft took off.
So I said, well, did your boat have a name? And he said, Natoma. And I'd never heard the word before. And I went down the hall and got onto the computer and Googled it. And down around hit 300. All there was this thing, Natoma Bay, CVE-62, clicked on it, and up comes this history of a World War II aircraft carrier. And so that was the beginning of what the heck is going on here.
Standing there staring at this picture of this little, it was like an aerial photo of this little aircraft carrier in the water, and we just stood there staring at it for a long time.
I had no answers. You know, how could he know this? How could he know a person? How could he know a ship? And what did all this mean? So that was where I really just said, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what I'm going to find, but I'm not going to stop looking until I get as many answers as I can get.
This was enough to send Bruce on an investigation, doing his own research. Over the next 2 years, he learned about the men from the Natoma Bay, both living and dead. And James kept giving his parents additional, tantalizing, eerie clues.
Well, I kept asking him, do you remember what your name was? Do you remember what your name was? And he always said, James. And I thought, well, he's 2, he's confused. He thinks I'm asking him what his name is.
Then James started drawing.
That was one of my mission things.
The mission thing, you remember that?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite ones. It's
the same thing. Over and over, like a movie compressed all into one frame. An air battle. Flak. A plane on fire. And his signature, James 3.
So one day I was in the kitchen, I was washing dishes, James had breakfast, and he had an airplane, he was just flying around like this, and he goes, Mama, before I was born, I was a pilot, and my airplane got shot in the engine and crashed in the water, and that's how I died. And I was just froze. It was such a bizarre thing to say, but it was just that matter of fact. There was no drama, there was no emotion to it.
There are actually countless stories similar to James all across the internet of people experiencing memories from their past lives. What is probably most compelling is James's certainty that he was indeed the World War I pilot who had died in the plane crash, and at such a young age, it would be difficult for a child to fabricate such gory details. These kind of stories destroy the black and white notion that death is absolute. It seems that it's more complex and death isn't as permanent as we may believe it to be. There are even diagrams you can find online that back the loop theory and place God or creator outside of the loop, which would make sense because God wouldn't want to loop himself. I mean, God knows what could happen, right? I will include this diagram in a link in the source material where you can click and view it for yourself as you listen to the next part of what I'm going to say. I will read some of this theory that has been paired with the diagram as it's very long, but the link to the entire text is also in the source material. Quote, due to the scientific process of natural selection and the survival of the fittest, life began to evolve. It took millions of years for different life forms to evolve. The innermost spiral represents the primitive life forms. As we diverge away from the center, more and more advanced life forms originate. I would also love to correlate this with the vicious cycle of births and rebirths as proposed by Hinduism. The organisms within the innermost spirals die and take rebirth in the form of some kind of an advanced species. Not every organism does this. Once again, thanks to natural selection and adaptation over millions of years, human beings too became a part of this evolutionary cycle. As technology evolves further, even we would evolve into advanced species. Hundreds of years from now, we would find tech that is strong enough to inhabit life outside Earth. We would start to live in other planets and galaxies. Our physical form also evolves. We became aliens. End quote. What do you guys think of that? I think that piece of text is very intriguing. It does make me think about quite a bit in terms of where we're headed into in the future, which is cybernetics and cyberware. And a lot of people in 20, 30 years will have hardware installed into their body, and people are going to become Borgs, which they are kind of getting us ready for by priming us with AI and robots now. So yeah, I do feel like there's something to this. I don't know who originally wrote this. I wish I did. I tried to find it everywhere. Unfortunately, no luck. So if you guys can find who actually wrote this or where it's originally from, please do let me know so I can credit that person in the source material properly, because I do like to correctly source where everything comes from, just to give credit to those people, because obviously they deserve it. It is crazy to think that we could be evolving in a spiral instead of restarting each time from zero. Maybe each time we restart, we are slightly different. I don't want to say advanced because I don't believe the humans of today are the most advanced. No way. If you look at the diagram, it's in a spiral, which is also one of the oldest geometric shapes found throughout the ancient world. So Graham may be onto something. Ancient cultures throughout the world carved the same symbol with little or no communication with each other. The spiral is central to nature, appearing on animals such as the snail, seashells. Need I go on? It seems like we as modern humans, and I put that in air quotes, We seem to know the least about our world, where we came from, and how it works. What was the significance of all these cultures carving the spiral symbol? Cultures from different timelines and regions that had nothing to do with one another. They knew something we didn't. Do you guys think we're in a time loop, or have you had experiences that made you feel that you may be in your own Groundhog Day? Thanks for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. If you're into the strange, morbid, or curious, I'll see you in the next episode. Stay safe, stay curious, for real. So to all you lovely listeners, I would like to inform you that I will be in the process of starting streaming, live streaming, I guess, and that's because I want to interact more with people, have some interesting conversations, and obviously increase engagement. But I am aware that some of the topics I discuss are not really welcome on mainstream sites. So I won't be using Twitch, but I will be using Rumble because they do have a streaming feature, which is really, really cool. But you need at least 25 followers to be able to live stream. So if you could all be a darling, go to the link in the source material below that has Rumble and probably whatever I've named that channel, because I haven't done it yet, but this is me speaking to you from the past. Click on that link and subscribe, and then when it reaches 25, or follow I think, but when it reaches 25 people, I will 100% start, and I will be very unfiltered there because Rumble, the whole premise of Rumble is free speech. So yeah, please do that. I would definitely appreciate it. And stay schizo.